going to read out of chapter 5 again tonight. Thank God for the Word of God. Hallelujah. I appreciate the Word of God. Boy, where would you be without the Bible? That's right. You'd be confused. I know that much. Amen. Folks that don't take the Bible are confused.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
And they just get more confused. As we said this morning in 1 John chapter number 5, we're going to begin in verse number 9. The Bible says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. There's nothing greater than the witness of God.
Amen.
Right.
It's above everything we ever could experience or think or feel. It doesn't mean we don't have experiences. We do have experiences. But the Word of God is greater.
Amen.
If we have an experience that agrees with the Word of God, wonderful. If you have an experience that doesn't agree with the Word of God, just one of them experiences, you can throw it in file 13 and go on. Amen.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Any emotion, any feeling, any thought or imagination that disagrees with the Word of God, it needs to be cast down.
Amen.
Throw it out.
Right.
Right.
And Paul said we have to deal with our imaginations. Amen. And most of the time we look at that verse, we may think of it only as immoral or sinful or wicked.
No.
Or dishonest imaginations. It would be anything, he said, contrary to Christ, amen, whatever it might be.
Right.
And so if the devil's put something in your thoughts that's contrary to this Bible, it is wrong, amen.
Yeah.
Man. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. We're going to deal with a book, this book of 1 John, 5 chapters, that God is going to testify of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. The one who wrote the Bible is going to move in and take up abode in you who believe the Bible. Amen. The Bible says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So the record is what we're so concerned about. What did God say? Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Number of times in this book, John writes, eternal life, eternal life. He's writing us about eternal life. In chapter 1, we mentioned this morning, John says in verse 2 of chapter 1, for the life was manifested and we have seen it, and by witness and show unto you that eternal life. That eternal life. God is wanting us to know, thank God, that we have eternal life. He says in verse 25 of chapter number 2, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
And so God is dealing with the subject of eternal life. He said, this is the record. The record says that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. He wrote this book to us who believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
The crowd that's running around saying that this book was written to unsaved folk, there's a crowd running around saying chapter 1's written to unsaved folk. They're foolish.
Amen.
Right.
They're foolish, amen.
That's right.
It is a bunch of nonsense, amen. The Bible's clear. It's written to us who believe on the name of the Son of God, and it's written to us for a purpose that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He said, I wrote you this book that you can know you have eternal life. And then he says in this closing verse, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It only increases your faith. And your faith increases your trust increases your assurance, and your assurance increases your faith increases your trust, and your trust, and you just get stronger all the time. Amen? So we're going to pray and ask God to help us. We're going to continue preaching on the subject we preached about this morning. And we used this thought this morning. We dealt with this book in the frame of the relationships that we have. We do relate to relationships. We know about things. We know about people. We can say, man, that water's cold as ice cream. And we know what it's talking about. When you eat cold ice cream, it makes your head hurt. Amen. We relate to things. We have We have relationships with people and time and things and events, and things come to our mind and they build a stamp in our mind that we don't get away from. And God's not against having experiences and having emotions and having the things which we look back upon, as long as they're based on the Word of God. Amen. Amen. As long as we look at the Word of God and saying, yes, I have this in my life to remember, it's based on the Word of God. And you can build your life and you can build your faith and you can encourage your spirit over years to come if you're basing what you're building it on the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege, Lord, to be in the house of God. Father, you've been so gracious to us. Help us now tonight, Lord, to be very clear in our speaking, that you might be magnified and that God's people will be edified and encouraged in the Spirit of God and the blessed Word of God. I know that, Lord, Satan is not our friend, and he would try to discourage every believer and cast doubt in every heart. But I'm glad tonight, thank God, that the Word of God is above and beyond all of that. And I praise you, Lord, that nothing can outdo the Word of God. I'm glad, Lord, your Word will endure forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your Word endure forever. Help us tonight as we look into your Word, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I said this morning, as the Lord began to unfold these chapters, the first thing he unfolds after verse number 2 is this issue of fellowship, having a relationship with the people of God. And he says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And the Word of God is clear. God's people have fellowship one with another. And it's probably one of the earliest things that you remember in your salvation, amen. After you begin to follow the Lord, you begin to have a relationship with people who are saved, amen. And even those who are the farthest mind of ever having anything to do with the church, having anything to do with the people of God, when they get saved, they are drawn and they're knit to the people of God and the folks who know the Lord Jesus. Amen. And thank God for that. And we remember those events and times, and we relate to those things. And I remember Brother Randall's testimony numerous times, and others that I mentioned this morning. When they got saved, they had a relationship with the people of God, regardless of what their standing in life was before they got saved. Amen. Amen. And thank God you can remember that. And I do remember, amen. I do remember, even as young as I was, I remember not having any desire to have relationship with the people of God, and even wanting to be away from them and out of their way, amen. But I remember when that changed and God gave me a desire to have a relationship with God's people, amen. Yep. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. I praise the Lord. And I tell you, you don't have to be the same age, amen. I remember as a youngster, very early in my life, I probably can remember back to 5, 6, or 7 years old. Well, I know I remember back further than that, I remember my mom being baptized. But I remember when old man Rob Marsh would come to our house and witness, and we'd all have to come in and sit on the couch and listen to the gospel and listen to us about Jesus. I didn't have no desire to be in that place. I didn't have no desire to sit there on the couch and hear the Word of God. But I remember, as a young person, when God saved me, I wanted to be around him after that. I loved him, and he became a dear friend, and we hunted together, and we fished together, and we traveled together, we've done many things together, amen. And he was much older than me, 70 years older than I was. But I had a desire to be around him, amen. And others, I was thinking when my wife got married, we were young. I was 19 years old, and I won't tell how young she was, amen. But I remember our evenings, we did not spend them with couples our age. We spent them with preachers and their families and much older than we was. And our fellowship was with folks who knew God and had a desire to know God. And if we'd have knew a lot of young people that knew God, we might have had more fellowship with them. But I'll tell you, thank God for folks who have a knowledge of God. You will have a desire to fellowship with them. Amen.
Amen.
And I praise God for it. I give God the glory. And age is not a barrier when you're saved.
Right.
Age is not a barrier when you're saved. I remember all men of God that was close in our lives when we were young, and age did not obstruct the fellowship. It made us have a desire to learn from them and have a bonding to them. Amen. And I praise God for that. I give God the glory. And then he said, our fellowship is with, thank God, our Heavenly Father. He says in the latter part of verse number 3, that he also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And we talked about this morning this business of knowing God, walking with God, having fellowship with God. We have a desire to know him, to hear of him, to learn of him. And when you got saved, there become a desire in you to have a knowledge of God. Unsaved folk don't understand what we're talking about when we're talking about knowing him. Amen. Paul said that I may know him, that I may know him. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Thank God for that desire to know the Lord, amen.
Amen.
And to know the things of God. And we praise God, we can relate back to that. I'm sure that Brother Randall, Brother Dave, and Brother Frankie and others in here that got saved and looked back on their life and talked about what they were desiring. I don't think they were probably reading 3 or 4 chapters a day trying to learn the Word of God, trying to study, and was interested in Sunday school lessons and was interested in those things. I'm sure that Brother Cleary wasn't sitting down in his house on Saturday afternoon trying to find something in the Word of God, learn something in the Bible. And when you was lost, you didn't have no knowledge and no desire to have any knowledge.
Right.
And when you didn't have that, but thank God when you got saved, you had a desire to have fellowship with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And thank God he works it in our heart. Amen.
Amen.
And that's good for everybody else back through there. Amen. That I didn't call your name. Praise God.
Amen.
And ladies also. Amen. I'm saying that there is a difference in us when we get saved. It's just like I mentioned this morning, the brother out in California, Brother Fred Federico, when he got saved, and he wrote to me and he said, Brother, you know, when I met him there in the restaurant, he said, I read the Bible all the way through trying to find the Lord and trying to figure out these things. And then it wasn't long after he got saved, he called me and read the New Testament through again. He said, have you got any books you can send me? Have you got anything I can read that'll help me? What do I need? Amen. I want to learn more. I mean, here's a man, 86 or 7 years old, that's got a PhD in clinical psychology. He's a brilliant individual and he's hungering to learn about God. Amen.
Amen.
How can that be? How can that be? It can only be because God says you have a fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. And then we learned that there is a issue of whether or not we had the right relationship concerning our own sins. Unsaved people don't think about sin like you and I do. We recognize that in the Lord there's no darkness, and we recognize in him as light, and we recognize as we walk with him, we don't have a desire to have sin in our life, rather we have a desire to have the sin out of our life. And if a person is going after sin, their enjoyment is sin, they desire sin, they go after sin, there's something wrong with them. Instead of enjoying sin, a believer detests sin. Instead of covering sin, he confesses sin. If we are serving the Lord Jesus, we're born in the family of God, we have a desire to do the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said, I delight after the will of God from the inward man. I have delight in the inward man. There's something inside of me has a delight to do what is right. That is not saying that I am an individual that never fails, never sins, never errs from the way of God, but I have a desire to do the will of God. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
He said in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. People that does not deal with their own sin are not saved.
Right.
People will not acknowledge their own sin, they're not saved. A person who does not admit that they are what they are, there's something wrong with them. When you got saved, you for the first time saw yourself more sinful than you did even before you got saved.
Right.
And the longer you serve the Lord, I look back on events in my life today, 40 years ago, and think of them now and think, oh God, how terrible that was.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right, right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Something comes to my mind that I think about years and years ago, and I say, oh God, how in the world, how could you have mercy and grace for us like you do? How wicked man is, amen. How wicked I am.
Right, yeah. Amen. Right, brother, amen.
So the Bible says, we have an attitude about our sin that's different. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. We don't have a desire to cover our sin. We have a desire to confess our sin. The Bible says if we have Jesus, we want to come to the light so that we can have our deeds made known that they're right with God. We want to be right, amen.
Amen.
You know, unsaved folks are not running to churches tonight, going to altars, asking God to help them with their issues. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. A saved person is on a constant basis coming to deal with their sin.
Right.
Amen.
On a daily basis, dealing with their sin, dealing with who they are and what they are. And so we found the Word of God that if we're saved, we have a right relationship concerning our own sin nature and our own sin, and we're not out to cover up what we are. We're willing to deal with what we are, and we want God to make us right with Him. Amen.
Right. Amen.
We found also that we realize we have an advocate. In verse number 1 of chapter 2, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. He don't want us to sin. But He gives us the understanding, He says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a lawyer. We have one to stand between us. We have a lawyer, a go-between with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have come to recognize Jesus Christ can deal and handle the situation of our sins. Amen.
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 And we don't go to anybody else.
Right.
We recognize the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, and we deal with our sin on that knowledge on a daily basis. We recognize Jesus Christ can forgive sin, amen. And one of the issues that made plain in the New Testament Gospels was God, Jesus Christ in the flesh, can forgive sin, amen. And He will forgive sin, thank God, amen.
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 And we recognize that's how we're clean. And the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does not just cleanse us in the sense of taking our slate and making it new, but He takes away the sin problems and begins to change and transform our life into ways that we could never have made ourselves. Amen. He changed our habits, our ways, our nature, our ways of doing things. God changes us. Amen. Delivers men from vile and wicked habits, and He delivers us from the wickedness and the ungodliness of this world. And we have a relationship with our lawyer. And I said this morning, there's people who literally live their lives around their lawyer, earthly speaking, and they're always every day calling their lawyer, dealing with this and dealing with that, because most businesses today either have to have a lawyer to keep from somebody else putting them in jail or keep from going because they're so quick in themselves. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
But thank God we have a lawyer in heaven, amen.
Amen.
And we're calling Him every day and dealing with our problems. And He is telling us, don't worry about it, I've got it all taken care of, amen. Everything's fixed, everything's done, amen. And we recognize His sacrifice, we realize His position, and we understand that He is our high priest, amen. And we rely on His work, and we rest in His promises, amen. When our lawyer says, hey, you've got nothing to worry about, we don't worry about it, amen.
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 And in the normal life, if you have a good lawyer and you're trusting in Him, and He says, this is nothing, this is insignificant, I'll take care of all of it, most people go away and just let Him have it, amen. And that's exactly what you have to do with Jesus. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We just burst into His office and say, oh Lord, I've got a problem that's come up. He said, what's the problem? He is not a high priest that cannot be touched. He is a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and He's there to help us, and He will take our need before the Father, and He will handle it for you.
Amen.
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 And he is our propitiation. There's nothing he cannot deal with and satisfy in the presence of God.
Amen.
So we see and we recognize, we look back at our life as believers, and we see as God deals with our heart and as God changes our life, and we recognize we do have a Savior, we do have a High Priest, and we have brought our life to Him, and we continue to rely upon Him. He that has believed on the name of the Son of God hath life. If you have trusted Jesus Christ, you have life. Amen.
Amen.
Simple and plain as that. And then I said the next relationship he deals with is the world. In chapter number 2, he deals with how is your relationship now with the world? Before you got saved, the Bible says we walked after the course of this world. It formed our thoughts. It formed our motives. It formed our ways. It brought in many of the styles of life which has made their way into our life and our daily walk. But when we got saved, we have a different look at this issue of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
How many unsaved people you think turned on the TV today and some movie flashed across it and they said, man, I can't believe that. Very few, amen.
Right.
Or some word was said, or some phrase was used, or some innuendo that pointed toward some immorality or whatever the case might be. I'm telling you, when you got saved, God began to put in you a knowledge that's not in the unsaved world. The Bible says in verse number 14, we're not reading all those verses again in chapter number 2, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the way of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. God put an overcoming force inside
Amen.
Of us.
Amen.
Right.
He began to teach us and instruct us and give us guidance. The Word of God says, and I'll jump over a little bit ahead of myself, verse 25, he says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things are written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Thank God there is someone in us who teaches us. And he is the anointed one. He is God the Holy Ghost. And we have an inside teacher, amen.
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 Right.
In verse 15, backing up again, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we mentioned this morning how many folks have said, I don't know how I lived before I got saved. I don't know how I made it without Jesus. Now I recognize I could not live without him. He was just merciful and saved me and changed me. Others have said, that was precious to me, were nothing. And now I don't understand how I had my value so confused.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
God changes us, amen.
Amen.
Love not the world. And then he says to us, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And we recognize and we have an ability to see the world is wicked, amen.
Right.
We're talking about the unsaved populace and the rule of the nature of mankind is ungodly. And for the first time we have a knowledge that the world is ungodly. Amen.
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 You can go into unsaved homes where there's children and there'll be unbelievable things coming across the TV. And I was in a home not too long ago, amen. And a man was watching something on a big old screen about, looked like it's 5 foot square. And there was little bitty children there in the floor. And they were watching that and playing too. And I mean to tell you, I couldn't believe what was on it. And I couldn't believe that a parent would even not say, my goodness!
Yeah.
Well, they don't pay it any mind.
No.
Think nothing of it. Don't even recognize the wickedness it is, amen.
Yeah.
But when you get saved and you have Jesus, you have an understanding and you recognize what the world is and you begin to see for the first time how wicked and ungodly and how terrible it is, and folks are shocked what they used to do and see and listen to, and now they say, hey, it is wicked, amen. And they recognize it for the first time.
Amen.
So we understand that our relationship with this world changes when we get saved. If you say, preacher, my relationship with the world never changed at all, I mean, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
If you still are in the same shape you was before you got saved, you didn't get saved.
Right.
Simple as that, amen. Yeah. He is in Christ, a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Two things happen, amen, or two things can be directly understood. If you were down the road in sin, then God stopped you and changed you, and you now walk in a new path. If you was getting in the age of just understanding and knowing God and understanding sin, He kept you from being what you would have been someday.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, buddy. It is no telling what we would have been had not God saved us when He did.
Amen.
I was coming right through here the other day. And when I come over that dip somewhere down through there, my mind went back to some days in my life. And I said, as I come by here, I said, Dear God, had You not saved me? Had You not saved me? Oh, God, what in the world would I have turned out to be? Outside of the grace of God.
That's right. Amen.
I'm saying to you, listen, if you're saved, you're different.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you don't struggle with sin. Doesn't mean you still don't have a flesh and a nature of flesh that's in that flesh. But the Bible says, greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And now you have an inward change that cannot be undone and cannot be refuted. Amen.
Amen.
Then we come to chapter number 3. We've already mentioned this in chapter number 2. But we have a relationship as a son of God. We recognize that there is a sonship. We dwell on that a moment or two this morning. The Bible says, His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if you're saved by the grace of God, there is a part of you that you can never, 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 never talk into sin.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Listen to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law, and ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin.
Amen.
There ain't no sin in Jesus, my friend. And He was manifested to take away our sins. In Him is no sin, and He was manifested to take away our sins. Now look what it says. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now stopping there for a minute, I know there's two branches of this text. One is dealing with the practice of sin. Dealing with the habitual practice of sin. That is, habitually giving yourself over to sin. It is as having sin. The Greek word means as having sin as one's own property, and it's precious to you, and you guard it and protect it. If sin is held by you, and you conceive it as your own, and you say, this is my business, I'm in a debt, then friend, you are not a believer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Christians don't have that. But I tell you, the Bible says we also have something different about us. That which is born of God doth not commit sin, amen, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin.
Amen.
Now, you have the flesh that you live in. Your flesh is not yet born of God. You're waiting on the day when he'll come and change your vile body in the likeness of his glorious body, but your inward man is transformed.
Yes, amen.
And you can't talk your inner man into sin.
No.
Before you got saved, your inward person and your outward person worked together on the sin. To cover it up, to conjure up every lie, to fix everything, to make every way, to fix it so you could do what you wanted to do. But after you got saved, if your flesh desires to sin or falls into sin, your soul cries out, no, 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 no. Your soul will never agree, and it will never say it's all right.
Right.
If you're saved,
amen.
No matter how small or how big, your soul will never agree with your sin.
Right.
You can't talk it into it. You can't coax it into it. You can't say, hey, please go along with me on this. He will say no.
Right.
No.
Amen.
He says, I want to do this. And your soul will say no. 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 You can talk to it all day long. No, 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 no. It never changed my mind. Why? Because the seed of God remains in you and it can't sin. The Holy Ghost will cry from the inside, no, 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 and it will never, ever agree with your sin.
That's right. Amen.
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 And the Bible says, the Word of God says, God's Word makes known to us, in this, in verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. They don't have that voice. You do have that voice.
Right.
Amen.
I've asked people that's doubted your salvation, what happens when you sin, or you're starting to go towards some sin, or you're thinking about some sin? Is the inward man, what is the inward man doing? If they say, I don't know what you're talking about, they don't have any knowledge, I begin to try to relate to them, then I understand they're not saved.
Right.
Because the inward man is not going to be able to force its way into the flesh realm and do the will of the devil. Because the Holy Ghost is in there. And the Bible says we're sealed in the day of redemption. And the Holy Ghost took abode in you the day you got saved. And friend, listen, if you're saved, you're a son of God, you're born of God, there's a birthmark in your soul, and you can never talk it into sin and amen.
Amen.
Before you got saved, you could lay awake at night and plan to sin. You could talk to yourself inwardly, plan your sins on the inside. You'd get it all worked together. There was no opposition. There's no one to stop it. There was no one to halt it. But the moment you got saved, the second you got saved, the instant you got saved, someone moved on the inside. You're born now of God, and you will never silence the voice of Almighty God inside of your bosom.
Right.
Amen.
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 Right, brother. Amen.
You say, well, I tell you what, I don't have that. Then you're not saved.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you can still lie and cheat and steal and go on your wicked, ungodly ways and conjure and plan and do, and there's no opposition, you are lost.
Amen.
Amen.
So we have a relationship as a son of God, a child of God. One of God's children, amen. And that relationship is built and based around the work of the Holy Ghost inside of us, amen.
Right.
His seed remaineth in us. The Spirit of God is internal in our being, and you can't run him out, amen. You can't chase him off. You cannot silence him, amen. And so, because of us being a child of God, we begin to recognize the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life, amen.
Right.
We said last Tuesday night, he prays for us. He knows what we need.
Yep, that's right.
He knows our weaknesses. The Bible says he knows our infirmities. He's aware of every problem you have. And so he's there constantly groaning for you, praying with groanings that cannot be uttered, calling out on your behalf to the Heavenly Father. He knows the mind and the will of the Father, and he's praying specifically in your behalf. And the Bible says in the same chapter, Jesus also is receiving those messages. He also is praying in your behalf. And friend, you can't change or stop God from doing what he started. He has begun a good work in you. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 You say, can you backslide? Yeah, you can backslide.
Yeah.
Can't run God out.
Right.
All the time you're going away from God, the Holy Ghost is saying, no, 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 no. You need to get right. You need to get right. You need to get right. You are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. You can't get the Holy Ghost to get on your side in sin.
Amen.
Right, right, brother.
Amen. He will not do it, amen. And it's because of him, because of these experiences, these knowledgeable things that agree with the Scripture, we base these things on the Word of God. We can go back and relate to them. We have a relationship with God as a child of God. And we recognize, yes, it is true, amen. That is the way it is, amen.
Yeah, amen.
I remember before I got saved. Planning to kill a man. I was going to kill him. I even got my 37 Winchester 28 shotgun, loaded it, and was going to kill him. There wasn't nothing inside of me crying out, don't do it. I intended to do it. All I could see was him blowed away in my mind. You say, how could that be? I'm just telling you, that's how wicked the flesh is.
Yeah.
And there's not a doubt in my mind, not one question in my mind. There's not a doubt. I wasn't going to walk up and see him and question and change my opinion. The moment I kicked the door in, I was going to kill him. My sister tackled me about 100 yards from the house from behind, knocked me down and grabbed the gun, and only by the grace of God did I not do that.
Right.
I've had some thoughts about killing people since then.
Sure.
But every time I've had it since then, the Holy Ghost cried out.
Amen.
No, no,
right.
No.
Right.
No.
Amen.
No.
Right.
Oh, I know you probably never had any thoughts like that, but I have. But the Holy Ghost cries out, that is not right.
Amen.
That cannot be the will of God. God cannot agree with that. Amen. That's not right.
Right.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad, thank God, that I have someone living on the inside that's crying out against everything that Satan will try to motivate our flesh to do. The Holy Ghost will say, no, don't go that way. Amen. It don't have to be murder. It could be some other little insignificant thing that may not even be looked at as important in the world's eyes.
Yes.
So he goes on from chapter 3. He deals with the relationship we have with our brethren again. And the fact that we love our brethren, and we do, and we'll not go back and do it again with the fellowship of our brethren. We talked this morning that if you're saved, a Christian desires to have a right relationship. And when you're not right, the Holy Spirit is saying you're not right. You have malice, you have wrong. And we mentioned that brother, jump right up in the middle of the meeting and have it over with. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't want that to go on.
Right.
If you enjoy having malice, having those things, there's something wrong with you.
That's right. Amen.
You don't want to have that. But the Lord continues in our relationship concerning the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, turn to chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and has sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit, amen.
Amen.
The fact of the Holy Spirit's indwelling in us, we recognize his work in us. And I'll tell you how you love through the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. But the same says that love in Ephesians or 1 Corinthians 13 is Holy Ghost love, amen. I don't have any doubt about that. You can't love people without the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You can only love so far, but the Holy Spirit will allow you to love your enemies, love those who mistreat you, abuse you, say evil things about you, and take advantage of you. And the Holy Spirit works a love in you that goes beyond just loving one another. Hey, listen, my problem is not loving Randall Topping and loving Brother Dave and loving Josh and loving Dwight. And I mean, I love all the ladies too in the right way. I'm just talking about, it's not that. It's loving my enemies and folks who do me dirty. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem loving saved folk.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. And by the way, we love everybody.
Yeah.
Amen. If you're saved, you love folk. Amen.
Yes.
I don't have no problem loving Christians. If you have, you say, preacher, I got a problem loving people in the church. You got problems.
Yeah, that's right.
We got some real serious problems, amen.
Amen.
It's that devil down the road is fixing to do me in, and I got to keep my mind right about it, amen.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Amen.
So God help us, and the Bible says it's because He has given us of His Spirit. We said this morning, looking back to Romans chapter number 8, turn back there again if you will. Romans chapter number 8. The Holy Spirit is sitting on the witness stand inside our heart, and He's always testifying to us, amen. Look back in Romans chapter number 8, and let's look in verse 1 first. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A believer walks after the Spirit. And then he says in verse, let's read verse number 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the flesh, the things of the Spirit. Again and again and again, He acknowledges us. When you are saved, you have a tutor inside of you, and He is guiding you, directing you, and you know you're the man of Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. Rather than the flesh. When you disobey Him and you obey the flesh, He chastises and deals with your disobedience. Amen.
Amen.
In verse number 11, well, let's read verse number 10. Well, let's just back all the way up and read verse number 8. Amen. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You say, preacher, I don't know how the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit says, you're a child of God. Holy Spirit rebukes you every time you're wrong. Holy Spirit teaches you what's right. Holy Spirit works in you day after day after day after day. The Holy Spirit cannot be silenced. He cannot be made to agree with you on your sin issues. If you can build up and conjure up your own way of life and live a sinful natured life and live a sinful practicing life, and there's no contradiction in your inner being, you're lost.
Yeah.
You're not
Amen.
Saved.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit's working in us on a constant, continuous basis. The Bible said in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The great and mighty work of the Holy Spirit is known to the believer, amen.
Amen.
And you learn more and more about it as you walk down
amen.
This journey.
Amen.
For if you live after the flesh, verse number 13. Well, let's read verse 12 again. I didn't read it. Therefore, brethren, you are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Right.
I've asked people that was confused, or they thought they were saved, and it was evident that they were just as wicked as ever was. I've asked them, tell me when the Holy Spirit started leading your life. I've asked them, they don't know what you're talking about. You don't have any knowledge of there's a day when you walked totally according to your flesh, and there's another day after that now there's someone else inside you taking leadership. No. Then you're not saved. But if you have knowledge of the fact that the Holy Spirit took a leadership role in your life, someone on the inside who is greater than your flesh took a role on the inside of your life. And as I said this morning, with some of us who grew up, learned bad habits in the early part of our life, God had to change and transform and work in our life and turn us in a new direction. But some of you, as you got saved, and you got saved at a young age, and then as you come to maturity and puberty and age, and your thoughts begin to come to manhood or womanhood, and those thoughts drifted and went away, that the world's wind, the Holy Spirit was saying to you, don't go that way.
Sure.
Amen.
And you had someone to say, no, no, don't do that. Don't go in that direction. The Bible says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, which have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you say, preacher, can you go against the Holy Spirit? The Bible says you can. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, quench the Holy Spirit, resist the Holy Spirit, but you can't silence the Holy Spirit. And so as you go against the Holy Spirit, he is saying, please don't do that. Please don't do that. And then if you do something and go on against him and complete the act of sin, he said, you shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Why did you do that?
Amen.
You ever tell a lie? On the way from the lie, the Holy Spirit said, liar, liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. You lie. And finally you say, yeah, that's what I did. I lied. Man, I lied. Just a lie. Not the truth. Oh, you say, can Christians lie? Oh, yeah, they can lie.
Yeah.
How do you know? The Bible says it. The Bible even gives records of their names and the lies they told. What they said. But the Holy Spirit will never be silenced. And when they did lie, he said, you've lied against the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen? And so the Holy Ghost is in us and we have a relationship with him on a daily basis. It's not something that just once a month or once a year. No, he's always there, always there. You're going to go in and say something smart to your wife, or you're going to go in and say something smart to your husband, or you're going to smart mouth your daddy and mommy. The Holy Spirit says, no, don't do that. Or you're going to smart mouth somebody that you work with or whatever. It doesn't have to be some vile, wicked, ungodly act. Anything that's wrong, the Holy Spirit inside of you will say, no, don't do that.
Yeah. Amen.
When your anger is out of control, you're not letting the Holy Spirit work in control of your anger, he'll say you're wrong.
Right.
Yeah. It's constantly working in you. Constantly working in you.
Right.
He that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He doesn't quit until the Lord comes. He has sealed you on the day of redemption. There's never a time that you can. There's never a time that you can get him away from you and get him out of the way. He's just right there. Right there. Right there.
Right,
if
right.
you sin, you have to do it over top of his voice.
Yep.
Right. Amen.
You have to do it over top of his intrusion. You have to do it over top of his witness inside of you saying you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Don't do wrong. Don't do the things you ought not to do. So the Lord deals with us concerning the fact we have a relationship as a son, but that relationship is through the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to come down to a very serious place. And I'm glad the Lord puts it in order in 1 John he does. I'm glad he first off starts in chapter number 1 and he didn't start in chapter 5 first. Amen? But when he comes down to chapter number 5, he deals with the relationship we have with the commandments of God. Amen?
Yeah. Right.
What is your relationship with the Word of God? How do you handle it? What do you think about it? The Bible says in chapter number 5, verse number 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments.
Amen.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now if coming to church and serving the Lord and praying and reading the Bible and giving offerings to the Lord and witnessing to folks and keeping yourself unspotted from the world is a grievous burden to you, you are lost.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But if it's a grief to you when you can't do it and you fail and do it and you say, oh, man, I didn't want to mess up there. I didn't want to do that. I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't want that to happen. Different story, amen.
Exactly right, amen.
There's folks in church every Sunday, but it's a grief to them. It's a grief to them. That's what they said in Malachi. It was a grief to them.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They said, this is a troublesome thing, having to serve you, having to do all this stuff, having to live for you. But the Lord says, if we're born of God, he says it's not grievous, for the reason is in verse number 4. Chapter number 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is Son of God? Now let me give you something here. This will help you. Come up here, Josh. Help me a minute.
If he did not say that the world would have no effect on you, he said you'd be able to overcome it. Now, I'm going to start toward that door, and Josh is going to be the world. He's a good picture of the world. He's going to be the world, and I don't want him. He's not going to stop me, but he's going to try to overcome me. And the world's going to try to overcome you.
Yeah.
But we can overcome the world. That doesn't mean there's going to be no obstruction. And so as I start back and I start in that direction, he's supposed to be trying to stop me, amen. But see, if you really want to go that way, you're determined to go that way. And there's going to be struggles, amen. And there's going to be difficulties, and you may even have to get a little help to go on, amen. And if you do, amen, you can get a little help. But if you're determined to go on, even though the world is going to pull on you, go on.
That's right, amen.
When you get saved, doesn't mean the world don't pull on you.
That's right.
It pulls on every one of us.
Yes, sir.
I've been saved many, many years. It pulls on me every day. Every day.
Amen.
But you know what I have? I have someone in me that's greater than the world.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
It pulls on everybody. But the Christian that's born of God, the individual that is born of God, overcometh the world.
Yes.
Now, some may be seemingly to overcome it with a bigger, longer stride. And some may be pulling harder and going harder, but every Christian is pulling against the world. Now I'm going to tell you something, young folks. If you are pulling toward the world, you've got a serious problem. Amen. Hey, you don't have to be 90 years old to recognize that there's sin in the world.
Amen.
You don't have to be 90 years old. I mean, I was like everybody else, you know, growing up. You know, I was attracted to this and attracted to that and attracted to this and attracted to that. And I remember when it came out with the 8-track tape player. Y'all can't even remember that, I know.
Oh, yeah.
But man, I mean, what an invention.
Sure,
but. Do you know what? You know what I remember when Billy come back from Vietnam? You know, the first time he come back from Vietnam, you know what the big thing was? Reel to reel.
Yeah.
Yeah, reel to reel.
Yeah.
Oh, you have reels that big? Reel to reel, and you get across there, and that's what you played. I mean, that was above the record. You could put thousands of songs on reel to reel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only about 500 miles long, amen?
Yeah.
And reel to reel, buddy. I mean, plug it in, Pioneer Craig, and listen to it for hours. Reel to reel!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
But boy, 8-track tape player, step ahead of that, wasn't it?
Sure.
Just plug a little box in there, and it just winds itself back around itself. What an amazing thing. Amen. I can tell you the name of some of them songs. Amen. You probably, some of these folks here can't remember them. Amen. But I can tell you nothing. But I remember one day, I said, all these tapes are going to go. They ain't singing the right kind of stuff. And they weren't singing near what they're singing today.
Yeah,
amen.
For sure.
Amen.
Right.
Why? Because it was pulling on me. But I was pulling the other way. And I pulled away from it, and it got left back there.
Yeah.
And you're going to pull away from things.
Yes, thank God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Right.
The lost world are not pulling away from it.
Yes, right.
You're pulling away from it. And you ought to be able to look back in your life, and there's times you may have got saved when you was very young, 12, 13, 14 years old. And maybe many things, many thoughts, many things that would have attacked you had never even come yet. But they come later in your life, and maybe they at first just bowled you over and knocked you down. But you raised up and said, wait a minute, this can't be, and this can't happen, and I can't allow this, and I've got to get out of it.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
That which is born of God overcometh the world.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I tell you what, as a believer goes down, their hand is reaching up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, right. Amen.
You may go down. Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but he rises up again.
Yes, amen.
His hand's reaching up.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen.
Lord, help me. I'm falling.
Yeah.
He's not talking about falling in love with some woman either. Amen. So the Lord is saying, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Here's what the prophet said. The prophet said, if a man loses his way, Will he not return to it? Will he not come back and get on?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, and this may be a far-fetched situation, but it's not that far-fetched. If me and Randall Tilly leave here in the morning going to Beckley, and it's the foggiest morning that's ever been since it ever was a foggy morning. Amen? And Randall, he is so talkative about talking you into stuff. He says, let's go 99. I said, Randall, why do I want to go over 99? It's foggy. Oh, he said, we'll get above the fall. He talks me into it. He does it every now and again. I am a Twin Falls traveler. He is a 99 traveler. I said, if you want to travel 99, you travel 99. But every now and again, he somehow talks me into it. He loves it. And so we take off, we travel, and we take up that way. And I said, Brother Randall, I can't see. It's so foggy, I can't see. Where's the road? And we're looking for the road. And all of a sudden, we pop out of the fog down there about a Lacey Fork number two. And I say, Randall, it's so foggy, we missed the road. We're 3 miles down past the road. You think we're going on to Charleston? No. We're going back in there and come back up the mountain. Back up the mountain. Randall, it's foggy. You can't see. Where's the road? I don't know. Look for the road. Do you see the road? No, I don't see the road. And all of a sudden we pop out of the fog. We're going down the other side. I said, Randall, we missed the road. You think we're going to Baysville? No. I said, Randall, we should have went the other way, but we're going to find it. We're going to go back and find it. Amen?
Right.
When you make up your mind, you're heaven bound. You're heaven bound.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, you may have some obstacles in the way, but yes. you're going to, and you know what? When you realize you're on the wrong road, you're going to get back on the right road. Mm-hmm. And you may even be happy for a while on the wrong road because you're not aware of the fact you missed a turn in life.
Right.
And when you realize you missed a turn, you say, boy, I need to get this straight now. Yeah. I remember one night, me and Marvin Alfrey, we was going up to Harrisonburg. We was going up there where we hunted over on the Virginia side. But what we used to do, we used to travel up before they got all these roads like they are now. They ain't as good. They were better now. We'd go across and hit 42 on I-64. Of course, there wasn't no 64 going out that way. We ran out 60. Got on 42 and run up 42 through Churchville, Virginia, and come in on the backside of the Virginia line. So we took off heading that way to be in there to hunt the next morning. We figured we'd get there and maybe rest an hour to be able to hunt. And we're supposed to make that turn when you come into Churchville and 42 makes a 90 and then makes a 90 to the right. We missed that and we went straight. It's real foggy. Went straight on Route 250. And boy, we was driving along just happy, talking about the day we're going to hunt and have a big time. About that time it said, West Virginia line, 6 miles. And I said, West Virginia line, 6 miles. How in the world? Where are we at? And I said, we have missed the turn on 42 at Churchville, Marvin. You think we went on to 6 miles and went on to the west? No. We turned around and come all the way back. We was a little late getting in the woods the next morning. But we made it, amen. If you are determined, if you're born of God, you are determined.
Amen.
You're not going to quit. Amen?
Amen?
And the Holy Ghost is not going to quit pulling on you and tugging on you. And I should have had him pulling that direction while Josh was pulling that direction, amen. That'd been a better illustration. Maybe I need to do that, amen. But Donnie, come over here and help me, amen. Josh, you come back, amen. Josh is the world. Amen. Brother Donald's the Holy Spirit, amen. And I got saved. And now we're headed. And even though if I try to resist, I can't outdo the Holy Spirit. I might want to go with you. He ain't going to let me, amen. And it may be a tug sometime, but amen. But the Holy Spirit's going
to
keep pulling on you.
Right.
And that's funny, but listen, the Holy Spirit, you feel the tug of God pulling on your life.
Amen. That's right.
And you are in that, the Bible says that we have that force of pull between us, the tug of the flesh warring against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and we're always in that battle, but thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
In chapter 4 of 1 John, he says, and by the way, unsaved folks don't know nothing about that struggle.
Yes, sir, that's right.
I don't know about that struggle.
Yeah.
Hey, you say, preacher, I doubt my salvation. Do you have that struggle? Yeah. No unsaved people has that struggle.
That's right. Even right.
Only
right.
saved people have that struggle. No unsaved person has that struggle. Right. They got one tug, it's going that way. Man.
Yeah.
Wrong direction. Bible says in 1 John 4, he said in verse 4, ye are of God, little children, overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Amen. So the world is tugging and pulling, but we are a overcomer.
Right, right.
That means the world doesn't quit tugging, but neither does the Holy Spirit quit tugging, and you are continually drawn in the direction of the will of God.
Amen.
Away from the world. And by the way, that's why the Bible says we're to yield to the Holy Spirit. Don't wrestle with Him. Don't give Him problems. Yield to the Spirit. Mind the Spirit. Obey the Spirit. Let Him take you in the right direction. That's why the Bible says, obey them to have the rule over you who watch for your soul. And God is saying, we're going to give an account to how we've run this race. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
How much fit have we thrown, and how much battle have we thrown against the work of God? So our relationship with the Word of God and the commandments of God and the will of God, you have some knowledge of that. Even if you've been saved a short period of time, you have some knowledge of experience of how there was a tug against, but there was a tug for, and you realize the need to go in the right direction. Amen?
Amen.
Let me, I've got to close. Amen. Let me give you this then. Let me go down to the end of chapter number 5. A realization of this relationship with God as far as our assurance is concerned, but also our responsibility. I'm going to just put all this together real quickly. Let's start in verse number 11. And this is a record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. We do not base our salvation on nothing but the Son of God.
Amen.
He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We never get up one morning and say, well, I've said my prayers. I've read my Bible. I've thought pretty good thoughts today. I've not done anybody wrong yet this morning. I'm probably saved. No, we don't ever do that. We say, because of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Because of Jesus. I'm saved because of Jesus. In Him I have life. Amen. I have life in Jesus. And the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We recognize our salvation is in one person, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But it does not remove from us the act of responsibility as a believer. Verse number 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that ye shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. God says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. The Bible says, we know the inward man is saved, but there's still a struggle with sin, and a brother can sin, and you can sin. And it reminds you, there is a sin unto death. You might just sin a sin that God says, okay, because you've done that, I'm going to take you home early.
Yeah.
You're going out early. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you out of this world, and you're going to heaven early. And God deals with you and takes you out of this life early. The Bible says, look if you will, in Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to close there. I didn't know it was this late. Hebrews chapter number 10, the Lord's talking about us holding fast our profession.
Right.
In Hebrews chapter number 10, He says in verse number 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful looking forward to the judgment, fiery nation of God, fire indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He despised Moses' law, died without mercy unto two or three witnesses, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and accounted the blood of the covenant worthy, the sanctified and unholy thing, and hath done despite in the Spirit of grace. Only saved people can do that.
Amen.
Go against the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amen.
To end up leaving here early. Amen.
Yeah.
there's people who left here early. Moses left early.
Yeah.
Bible says his natural forces, he was healthy when he left. Nothing wrong with him.
Yeah.
But the Lord said, I'm not going to let you live because you disobeyed me when you smote the rock and I told you not to do it.
Right.
So you're going to leave early. He was saved. Matter of fact, he come down on the Mount of Transfiguration and met with Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he didn't need to go any further in his life. Many others did the same thing. Aaron, he died early.
Yeah.
Miriam died early. Many of them, in the wilderness, died early because they didn't obey the Lord.
Right.
And the Lord says, there's a serious business. You recognize you're saved, but you have a sense of knowledge that you are responsible. We are so overwhelmed by the grace of God, but we're not so overwhelmed that we lose the sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
Are you listening? Folks who says, I can get drunk, do what I want to do, just ask God to forgive me. Nobody, that person ain't saved.
Amen.
That's right.
A saved person knows they're saved by grace, but they have a sense, I also am responsible to do right.
That's right, brother. Amen.
I fear God, and I know God could take my life. Amen. I tell you, there have been a few times I left the house with a bad attitude, and I was afraid that I got back.
Amen.
I said, Lord, don't take my life over this. I don't want to leave and be wrong. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you say, that's insignificant. If you're saved, you begin to think, hey, God could snatch me out of here.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You can leave this world early. And so a believer has a sense of his self being saved by the grace of God, but he does not allow that to take away his sense of responsibility.
Amen.
It is a double understanding. I'm saved by grace. I know God has taken care of all of my sin issues, but I still am responsible to serve Him.
Amen.
Yeah.
And to live right. Now, that grace is so great, there's times you'll say, I could maybe go ahead and take a chance on this. Maybe He won't do me so bad.
Sure.
But I tell you, that Holy Spirit will say, you're taking a gamble right there.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You don't know what might happen right there.
Right.
Amen. These things are written in you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, I did not want to hurry, but Lord, I know folks are tired, but I pray tonight that we'll just magnify you for your Word. Thank God you've given us what we need in the Word of God, and I bless the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to just daily allow you to minister to us and through us. And Lord, have your will in our lives as Christians, and we'll thank you for it. Might be someone here tonight not saved. I pray, Lord, that they would receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that they would recognize the work of God in their life from this day and forward. And we'll praise you for what you do, and thank you for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, folks, come to pray. If you need to come and pray, you might want even to thank God for what you've got. Amen. Thank God for this great salvation. Is there anyone in the building tonight? Say, preacher, I listened to the Word of God tonight, and I don't think I'm really saved. I just don't have God working in my heart. I see your hand, young lady. Yes, son, I see your hand. Any others? I recognize I just need to be saved. Anybody else? Anyone else? I wonder if someone's in the building tonight and said, preacher, I'm saved. There's not a doubt in my mind. But I've sure been given the Holy Spirit a pretty hard time. And I want God to help me do right. And I want you to know tonight that I'm making some commitments to do that. And I don't want to resist Him and fight with Him. I want to let Him do the pulling, and I want to yield to Him. Anyone like that tonight? Say, remember me in prayer. I need help in these areas. Amen. Amen. Any others? Yes, amen. Any others? Amen. I see your hands. You may put them down. Anyone else? Yes, son, I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes, amen. I see your hand, young lady. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for this time that we've had in your house. Lord, I thank you for what you have done in speaking to our hearts. Thank you for just reminding me again of this great, great salvation and how wonderful it is, and I praise you for it. Lord, there's needs tonight. People's lifted their hands. You know the needs of every heart tonight. Lord, there's nothing you cannot do, and I pray, God, your perfect will be done. These who have asked for help in their Christian life, and acknowledge they need you to help them to obey the Spirit and not struggle against the Holy Spirit. Help us to be that kind of a believer. And we'll thank you for what you do. Touch the lost and save those that are not saved. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
We're going to stand and sing one verse out of the hymn book in 337. And I apologize for being so long, but not for preaching what I preached. Amen.
That's right. Amen.